Coming up on today's show...
He really coached to pour into young people more than just to win football games. So he'd walk out into the middle of the field and thank God for allowing him to do what he loved to do, that nobody got hurt. And it was literally 30 seconds, and he got fired.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Try it. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. That's all, just once a week, I promise. While you are on the website signing up for the newsletter, look at the top of any page on the site and you will see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that as well on catholicsportsradio.net. I do truly enjoy hearing from listeners, social media, as well as the website. I'll give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce at catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I can still see in my head a picture that was in the newspaper when I was a young boy. One of the players on my favorite National Hockey League team was shown visiting a patient in the hospital. Let's not get into how many years ago that was, but clearly it left quite an impression on me that I still do remember it all these years later. In fact, I remember when I ended up working for an NHL team, how our community relations director would always get requests for exactly that type of outreach. You might have even noticed yourself how meaningful it was when you visited someone in the hospital or even the homebound. It does my heart good when I hear in church about the work being done by food pantries and similar ministries where parishioners just like you and me are giving time and goods to those less fortunate. We don't have to be professional athletes to make an impact that way. This is something we are called to as Catholic Christians, just like it says in the New Testament in Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Quote, contribute to the needs of the holy ones, exercise hospitality, end quote. Or to read it from the New International Version, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. At the time that this episode is being recorded, it is still very early in the NFL season, but my gosh, my Tampa Bay Buccaneers have already seen too many players go down with injuries. This is not something that a head coach wants to see. Just like when we have medical issues, we do not want to see the bills for it, right? Well, healthcare can be Christian. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a place of Christian community that enables Christians to take care of each other's medical bills. Ready to go biblical with your healthcare? Learn more at chministries.org/catholic-radio. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest independently produces faith-based films. His most current film, Average Joe, releases exclusively in theaters nationwide this Friday, October 11th, and is based on the true story of a high school football coach, Joe Kennedy, whose fight for religious freedom, the right to pray on the field following games, went all the way to the Supreme Court, where he won his case. My guest was also executive producer of the film God's Not Dead. He played on his high school golf team and went on to be an avid racquetball player for most of his life. He also has a story of conversion to the Catholic faith, which we will hear about today. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Bob Katz.
Thank you for having me, Bruce. Pleasure to be here.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And I apologize. I don't think I even know where you're calling in from today. You can share that by all means, but I'm just as interested to know where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
Well, I was born in Chicago, only lived there about 5 years. Family of five, mom, dad, three kids. I currently live in New Orleans, home of the Saints, so it's a good day here today in New Orleans.
We will eventually get to your conversion story, but for now, just tell us about the faith that was being practiced in your household when you were a young boy, and to what extent?
I was born, actually, and raised till I was about 13, Jewish, and I think we were Reformed Jews, so not anything like Orthodox or the Hasidic, or this was a much laxer form of Judaism, and I would say it was recreational Jewish family. We weren't, the equivalent would be Christians who go to Easter and Christmas, and that's about it.
Okay. I mentioned in the intro that you played on your high school golf team. What, or maybe who, made you pick that sport? Was it ever to the point where you considered going further in golf, meaning trying to at least play in college? Just take us back to getting into that sport and your experience playing it back then.
Well, this is going to give away my age, but I grew up, my heroes, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, those were the stars back when I was playing. I just loved to play, and I was fairly good at it. Played it in high school, but then went to college and actually didn't even go out for the team. It was just focusing on my studies at college.
But it sounds like, and I'm putting this in the form of a question, you picked up the sport because of those heroes that you mentioned. It wasn't your dad or someone who encouraged you and pushed you in that direction.
No, not at all. It was absolutely Arnold Palmer primarily. But back then there was a handful of just what we would call superstars today. And they were, I was interested in the game when I saw them. I just, you know, started playing and didn't live too far from a golf course. So they let me caddy in exchange for green fees. And I caddied and played all the way through high school.
All right, let's pick up the next part of your faith journey. You told us that you were born and raised Jewish. However, what happened when you were in your 20s?
Well, I graduated early from college. I was about 20. Vietnam War was going on. And so I went over to join the Marine Corps, was an officer, went to Vietnam for a year, came back and was, I don't know that I was necessarily that aware of it. And they didn't have PTSD back then. I just was angry. I was just always on the, I was in grad school, but just always on the verge of exploding. And didn't know what was wrong. And one day I came home from school and I'm flipping through the channels and Pat Robertson's on. And we weren't allowed to watch Christian TV as kids. Mm. And I was watching him and honestly making fun of him. And then I noticed I'd rush home the next day to watch him. And then I noticed that next semester I rearranged my classes so I could watch the 700 Club. Mm. And then one day, you know, the expression reading your mail, Pat was out there and he was looking. Yeah, he was obviously on TV and he said, listen, there's somebody out there and everything looks good. You're punching all the right tickets. You've graduated from school. You're in graduate school. You're making good grades. It looks like you have a bright future, but inside you are about to explode. Mm. And he just read my mail and he said, listen, if that's you, I want you to put your hand on the TV and repeat after me. So I put my hand on the TV. I repeated after him the sinner's prayer, but I was Jewish. I didn't know it was the sinner's prayer. Mm. I just said what he told me to say. And that was that until about 3 a.m. And I was sleeping. I was out of it. I was horizontal. And an incredible bright light went off in my room. I don't know how I got from laying in bed to standing straight up in the floor. There were no voices, no angels, but something happened. And somehow I knew it had to do with what I'd said when I repeated after Pat Robertson, what he told me to repeat. Hmm. So back then they had a 24-hour call-in line. I called in. the guy started laughing at me. He said, "Boy, you need to be at church this Sunday." So went to church, didn't understand anything that was going on. I mean, you can imagine, it was almost like being on another planet. But I knew I needed to be there. And that was the beginning of, you know, 40, 45 years of being a very devout, born-again Christian. And it was just one of those milestones, one of the most important milestones of my life was giving my life to Christ when I was in grad school.
Yeah, what an amazing story that is. And I do wonder, how did your parents take to that when you said you went to church because the person on the phone said, "Son, you need to be in church Sunday"? Did you go by yourself? What did all that look like?
Yeah, I went by myself. My father had passed away by then. My mother, I don't think she was crazy about it, but she didn't say much. So it wasn't, nobody was discouraging me in the family, but nobody in the family was encouraging me either. But as you know, once you're in a good church, they sort of wrap their arms around you and you find your new life and your encouragement there.
Well, and let's face it, as those words were coming out of my mouth, I thought to myself, he did liken it to the people who only go on Christmas and Easter. So I couldn't have imagined that there'd be that much sense of being upset that you were doing this if you came from a background where that's all it was. And folks, if you're scratching your head and saying, "Wait a minute, this is Catholic Sports Radio. He just talked about converting to non-denominational Christian. Why is Bruce not focusing on the Catholic aspect?" That's going to be the third element of Bob's faith walk that you're going to hear about. So we will get to that, but I wanted you to hear his journey, that he started off Jewish and then what he just described to you in converting to Christianity. But for now, Bob, let's get back to sports again. In the lead up to today, you said that you were an avid racquetball player for most of your adult life, quote, "until my knees insisted that it was time to move on," end quote. So looking back through a Catholic lens at that, do you think that maybe subconsciously, if not consciously, you were drawn to the setting, I'm talking about playing racquetball, of being in community with the brotherhood of that other competitor? Or am I projecting my ministry and it really was just a fun and good workout and nothing more to be read into it?
Oh, no. I developed very close friends to this day. There was a group of us that would play early in the morning at least three times a week. I've never been an athlete. Nobody was going to draft me for anything. But I've always, ever since I was in the Marine Corps, I've known you have to work out. You know, so I've always worked out, exercised, played some sport. I'm 73 now. I still work out 4 days a week. Mm. And racquetball is just a great, great sport. I mean, it's an intense cardiovascular workout, balance, coordination. And you don't realize you're working out because you're having so much fun playing. We usually play doubles. So I played with friends for years and years and years. It was both community and a great workout.
Folks, I did not mention this back when it was going on, but speaking of racket sports, I found myself watching some of the U.S. Open. I'm not a huge tennis fan, but mixed doubles play actually had my interest. It was interesting to see the way the athletes communicated and cooperated with one another and even helped when one of them found their game to be a little off. It made me think about those who play singles and having to just look inward when they're struggling. Although, even in individual sports, an athlete still has a coach that he or she turns to because they need and want guidance. A golfer will hire a swing coach. A boxer relies heavily on his trainer. Someone with a compulsion to pornography can activate a professional from Freedom Coaching, a Catholic-based service. Find more at freedom-coaching.net and get on the road to being set free. My parents recently came down here to Florida for a visit and got to see my recording setup. My father is a very devoted listener of this show, and he even tells people at his parish about it in the hopes that they will listen to his son hosting Catholic Sports Radio. He even hands out to some of them the promotional postcards that I have for promoting the show. So when he and my mom were here, my father looked at my recording setup and said, "So this is where you are when you're talking to all those people and recording all those interviews." He always tells me how proud he is of me, but I think it was a proud moment for me to say yes and show both of my folks where I operate this ministry from. Needless to say, my dad's support really means a lot to me. I'm hopeful that you too feel a sense of connection to Catholic Sports Radio and are supportive of my ministry. We are well over 5.5 years in now, and I'm optimistic that there is an impact from this show on your faith life. If, in fact, you do see value in all that I do through Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air, and you enjoy the show, you appreciate the work that I do, and you want to support my ongoing efforts, I would be most grateful for you to include this ministry as part of your tithing. As I always say, this is neither my full nor my part-time job, and I don't get any income from doing this show. On the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com, they'll both get you to the same place, there is a blue Donate to CSR button. As guests and listeners who have used that would attest, that blue button is a fast, easy, and secure way to make a financial gift that will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, though, if you prefer, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. Regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, just like you've heard me do on other episodes when guests or listeners have made a contribution, or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Bob, I do want to hear all about the new film that comes out in theaters this Friday, October 11. But first, let's finish your faith journey by having you tell us about being led to the Catholic Church.
Okay, well, if you'd have told me 5 years ago that I would be a devout Catholic, I would have told you there's just about as much chance that I will, you know, walk on the moon. I was actually one of those people who tended to say, the living presence and purgatory and all the things that Protestants tend to look down their nose about. I was one of them. And I was driving down the road, and again, I was extremely involved in my church. I would sit on the board. It's a very large church, about 10,000 people. And I loved it. I was very happy, non-denominational Christian. And I'm driving down the road, and I'm going through kind of a dry spell. And I'm talking to God, and I'm saying, you know, Lord, and it just came to me, I still, after all these years, I don't trust you. And I started crying. I'm driving down the road, and tears are coming. And I don't know what to make of all this. And I looked down. I was listening to Joel Osteen, because that's what good non-denominational people do on Sirius XM. And I saw next to it the Catholic channel. And I flipped over. I said, I wonder what Catholics listen to. And I flipped over, and there was a show. It was actually a spot, like a one-minute spot by the Franciscans. And it was the Saint of the Day. And the saint of that day happened to be Saint Faustina. And they started talking about this lady who died when she was just 33 years old. She had the stigmata, which I had to go look up. She was walking, literally seeing and walking and talking to Jesus almost every day, talking to the Holy Mother and predicting things that came to pass and still had predictions yet to come. And I was just mesmerized by it. I couldn't shake it. It was only 60 seconds. So I got home, and I couldn't shake it. So I looked on the Amazon, and I saw her diary, which was about 800 pages, ordered her diary, started reading it, and it just sank deeper and deeper and deeper into me. By the time I was almost done with the diary, I ran to a priest, and I know, and said, listen, I got to know more. I got to know more. And I've got to have the Eucharist. These things that I never dreamed of became all consuming. And I said, I can't wait 9 months. I can't go to RCIA. And he said, well, I know a priest that's about to retire. He'll give you a crash course in becoming a Catholic. Sure enough, I went to a priest. He was just a wonderful man. We worked together for, I guess, at least 3-4 months. And then I was confirmed and became Catholic. And for the, I know this expression used, probably overused, but I immediately knew I was home. I just, a peace came over me to this day that I've never really truly had before. The Eucharist came alive. The living presence became alive. That 2,000-year of chain of sacred scripture and God's word, it all just came alive. And so the least likely person maybe on the face of the earth to become Catholic is very much a devout Catholic now.
Wow. Oh, man, that is... that is beautiful. That is powerful. We have to talk about Average Joe, but my gosh, we could stop the interview there and that would be complete. That's a beautiful, beautiful testimony. And folks, we do have to shift gears, but pause if you have to and just sit in that, because what a tremendous, tremendous story we just heard from Bob. As I mentioned in the intro, though, Average Joe releases exclusively in theaters nationwide this Friday, October 11th. I gave a one-sentence synopsis of the film back in the intro, Bob. So in your words, tell the audience what the film is about and what drew you to it.
Our production company, we only do faith-based films, as you said. We did the God's Not Dead series. We did last year we did The Blind, which was about Phil and Kay Robertson from Duck Dynasty. And several years ago, someone introduced us to Coach Kennedy, who was a Marine, and I'm a Marine. So we were, you know, there was some affinity there. And he started telling his story about how he would go out into the middle of the football field after the game was over, and everybody was going home. He was just by himself, minding his own business. He'd walk out into the middle field, take a knee, and thank God that he got to pour. He had a terrible childhood, really terrible, and we show that in the movie. He really coached to pour into young people more than just to win football games. So he'd walk out into the middle of the field and thank God for allowing him to do what he loved to do, that nobody got hurt. And it was literally 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And he got fired. They told him, here's your choices. Go pray in a broom closet in the locker room with none of your players or get fired. And this is a 20-year career Marine who fought, risked his life in Iraq, and said, I did not risk my life and support my country, serve my country for 20 years to lose my First Amendment freedom of religion and be told to go into a broom closet and pray.
Wow.
And he dug in, and for 8 years, and we walked with him through this, he fought through the court system up to the Supreme Court. It got remanded back to the appellate court on a technicality, went back to the Supreme Court, and after 8 years, he finally won his case. And in doing so, he overturned a 50-year precedent called the Lemon Law and reestablished religious freedoms that we didn't even know we'd lost.
Wow.
He reestablished them. Very powerful, very precedent-setting case.
Wow. And folks, this movie, in the first 3 weeks alone of the trailer for it being posted on YouTube, 952,000 views just on the trailer on YouTube. So this is something that you're going to want to make plans to go and see. And as a result, Bob, I wonder, what do you want moviegoers to come away with after they go see Average Joe?
That some things are worth fighting for. Our First Amendment is part and parcel to what made this the greatest country in the world. Our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, our freedom of assembly, those five freedoms that are in the First Amendment made this country the greatest country in the world, and they are slowly being taken away from us. And it's because we're quiet. I understand people get up, they have to go to work, they support their family, they take care of their kids. And they don't have time to be that fringe that we always hear yelling on the far right and the far left, because they're doing what God called them to do. They're working. They're supporting their family. But what they're not realizing is we are losing the rights that made this country great. And if we don't take a stand, then we're going to continue to see those rights being eroded, and it's not going to be good for this country.
Where was Average Joe filmed? How long did it take to do the film? And Does Joe Kennedy himself make any kind of cameo in the film?
Yes, he makes a cameo along with his wife. I'm not going to tell you where. We also have a cameo from Willie Robertson, who's a good friend of our production company. He's from Duck Dynasty. He's in there.
Yeah.
We shot it in Louisiana, but it takes place in Washington State. The actual shooting takes about 25 days, but to make a movie takes about 2 years from start to finish. So very long, very intense, detailed process.
For those that, and some of us would say surprisingly, are not familiar with the film God's Not Dead, I would love for you to talk about that project. And as executive producer of that, what compelled you to enter the film industry 11 years ago?
Another weird story. My life is just kind of, I've learned to jump in the middle of the stream and let the stream take me where God wants. So I was a partner in a CPA firm for almost 40 years. And one day, at my home, sitting on the couch watching football, and the phone rings, and this is exactly the conversation. Phone rings, I said, hello, and I hear, I caught my son last night watching Filth on Netflix, and God told me to make some Christian movies that are actually good, that they have great production value and good stories and people want to see. And I'm ADD, and God told me you need to be my partner to cross the T's and dot the I's. I said, who is this?
Wow.
He said, it's Troy. Troy from Church of the King. We both went to the same church, but it had about 10,000 people in it. So we knew of each other. We really didn't know each other.
I see.
And I said, okay, Troy, let me pray about it. Let me think about it. And again, I couldn't shake it. And I said, Troy, do you know anything about making movies? He said, no. I said, well, neither do I. And he said, don't worry about it. God told me to do it, so it'll be okay. So we made God's Not Dead, and our very first movie is grossed probably over $100 million by now. So we were off and running, and we've been making movies for the last 11 years.
And just tell the audience what God's Not Dead is about for those who have not seen it.
God's Not Dead was a compilation of a lot of legal cases, and a lot of what we were hearing was that young Christian men and women go to college, and because they aren't properly what Catholics would call catechized, they lose their faith within the first year of college, a good 70 to 80% of them. They don't know apologetics. They're not catechized. They go there. They start hearing all this weird stuff that college teaches, and they lose their way. We couldn't believe the statistics when we started looking into it. And so our first film was about a young man who goes to college. Professor confronts the class, it's a philosophy class, and says, okay, look, we could skip over the first part of this class if everybody will just take out a sheet of paper and write God's dead. And this young man says, no, I can't do that. And the professor, Kevin Sorbo, does a great job mocking him. And ultimately there's a debate is set up between the professor and the student as to whether God is dead or not. Fantastic movie. It's kind of old now. It's 11 years old, but did extraordinarily well back then.
But folks, I wanted Bob to do that because my fear is that some of you are going to say, I'm familiar with God's Not Dead, and you're thinking of the Newsboys song, you know, the song that has, my God's not dead, he's surely alive, he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion, those lyrics. So I wanted you to hear about God's Not Dead, the film, in case you weren't familiar with it. And by the way, on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net, I'm going to put a link to the trailer that I referred to for Average Joe so that you can watch that. But by all means, do make plans to go see that in its entirety. And don't just settle for watching the trailer and say, yeah, I'll catch up with that film someday. Because as you can tell, it's a great, and remember, it's a true story. So you got to go and see what Bob and his team have done with telling Joe Kennedy's story. Bob, let's close by having you share with us about your wife and how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony.
We have been married for 42 years. We have two grown children, our daughter, who is also my scriptwriter. She wrote The Blind and she wrote Average Joe. And my son, who lives in Chicago. And it's been a wonderful journey together with some great kids.
Are there grandchildren?
No, not yet, but who knows?
Well, Bob, congratulations on Average Joe. Really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And audience, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer and do it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.